The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240. We decided to bring a little bit of a Nashville twang to the beginning of the show. This is from a guy by the name of Chris Carmack, who was an actor on the just recently canceled Nashville TV show. And the song is called What If I Was Willing. And actually, the question I'm going to bring to John Sweeney and John Panarese right now is, what if the Islanders were winning? Willing. What would have happened? What happened, guys? What happened? What if?
What happened was game three is what happened. 38-second goal, letting the goal up with 38 seconds left is what happened. And that, they believe, what did them in. Three quarters of the game, they are beating Tampa Bay. And with 38 seconds for a victory to go up 2-1, and they let it fall. And they lost those two home games, lost the next game, and it was just a spiral down. That's my opinion.
Tough show. John, you think the same way?
Yeah, I just think they didn't show up at all for the last game. I mean, even down 3-1, it should have been, you know, they should have showed up. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah, definitely so. And by the way, guys, this is Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, May 15, 2016. Gary Harding, John Panarese, John Sweeney with you. And we're going to go right to our guest. Like I said, this is a personal friend of mine. I have known this young man since he was a wee little baby, attending a hockey convention with his parents. He is the former NHL Network manager for Sideline Buzz, a recent grad of William Patterson College, and a good friend of mine, Andrew Shapiro. Andrew, it's Gary, John, and John here. Let's talk some NHL puck. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be on your show.
Any time, buddy. So you heard us. I know you follow the guys in blue and red, you know, unlike the three here in blue and orange. What do you think about what happened, especially to your Rangers and our Islanders being knocked out?
Well, I'm going to start with your Islanders, and I want to tell you right off the bat, you guys have absolutely, absolutely nothing to be ashamed of with the way your team played in the two series that you guys did play. You spent most of the time down in Florida, so if nothing else, the Islanders got a good tan out of the deal. But I mean, that Florida series, you guys played a phenomenal series. You saw the emergence of John Tavares as just an all-around superstar, as if you needed any more evidence of that fact. The goaltending that everybody was a little bit shaky on turned out to be more of the Florida issue, with Thomas Greiss playing out of his mind hockey. And you know, me personally, and I'm sure a lot of people were a little bit worried about the Islanders once Yaroslav Halak was done for the season. And a lot of people were probably worried about where this team was going to go without that solid number one. But they got the number one in number one, and Thomas Greiss played absolutely fantastic hockey. I thought you guys would get a little bit of a break running into the Lightning without Steven Stamkos and without Anton Stralman and some of their other big guns. But, of course, Jonathan Drouin pops up and changes the whole game around.
Drouin, Denison.
But you guys have such a bright future ahead. Tavares isn't going anywhere. Kyle Aposto's got a great game. A young stud, Anders Lee, coming off a spectacular sophomore year. And that two-headed monster in net with Jaro Halak and Thomas Greiss. And the defense that was so superb getting them to the playoffs in back-to-back years, and anchored by Letty and Boychuk. Hamonic agreeing to rescind his no-trade clause, meaning he's going to stay in Brooklyn for another year. It's a really good time to be an Islanders fan. Contrary.
here comes the segue.
And there was the pause, because it's going to be, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about the window is closing for the Rangers, and you know, how much longer can Lundqvist play, and how much longer can they keep Nash, and will he score as many goals as he has in the past? And it's upsetting that the Rangers are out as quickly as they were, but it's a two-headed monster there, because on the one hand, they fizzled. They came out flat in game one against Pittsburgh. They won game two, went back to the Garden with a chance to take a stranglehold on the series, and just they left their game somewhere, because I think they're still looking for it. It was just 16 shots on goal against Matt Murray in the whole game three. Game four was a bloodbath. I think the final score was 5-0. I even lost count of it. And then game five, even, you know, they were close. It was 2-2 after the first. On the road, you can't really ask for much more than that. And then the second period let down. It wasn't pretty. And on the other side, they ran into a Pittsburgh buzzsaw. Pittsburgh has had the Rangers number all year, especially after they picked up the former Rangers superstar Carl Hagelin. Kessel always has a soft spot in his heart for the Rangers, and by that I mean he loves lighting the lamp against them. And when the Rangers play the Penguins in the playoffs, it is absolutely impossible to tell which way it goes. Last year, the Rangers beat the Penguins in five and looked like the utterly dominant team. This year, it's the exact opposite story. So I think trending in opposite directions for the Rangers and the Islanders. I can almost guarantee that you'll see the Islanders back in the playoffs next year. As for the Rangers, time will tell what happens. There's a lot of offseason to be had. There's a lot of questions to be answered on and off the ice, on and off the books. And it really all depends on which Henrik Lundqvist comes to training camp, which offensive players show up. I'm talking to you, Rick Nash. And
I was just going to bring something up on that, because to me, I'm just so surprised, and I didn't really pay attention to statistics and things on Nash, but when I looked at it, 60 career playoff games, 10 goals. And this is a guy that you're paying, what, $8 million a year?
Well, he's the second highest paid player on the team. He's got to produce, and he's number one overall pick. You know, he's got to put up the big numbers.
What happens come playoff time? I mean, it just... Especially for a guy his size and with his ability, he just completely disappears.
Yes.
Listen, when I find out what happens to Rick Nash when the calendar hits April, I will be sure to let everybody know. Maybe the Rangers will give me a job. I don't know.
Well, have you seen him on any milk cartons in New Jersey, Andrew, or what?
No, in New Jersey, they're too busy looking for the ghost of Marty Berdur.
That's true.
But Andrew, let me. What are they going to do with Nash? Because they can't. They can't trade him. His contract's too big. And who's going to take that contract? What are the Rangers going to do with him?
What they're going to do is they're going to hang on to him until his contract is up, and they won't re-sign him, and he'll do exactly what Brad Richards did in his contract year, put up monster numbers,
right?
And then the Rangers will let him go, and he'll go win a cup somewhere because he'll hide behind the rest of his team. And Rick Nash, before he came to the Rangers, had only ever played four career playoff games.
For Columbus, the one year when they got swept.
No role with Columbus,
right.
Yeah, they got swept against Detroit. I think it was Detroit, I believe. So just switching it over to the Pittsburgh side, did you really – I mean, I had no conception to the fact that I thought that Pittsburgh would steamroll the President's Cup trophy-winning Washington Capitals the way they did.
Oh, me neither. I thought it was going to be a seven-game series. I thought Washington would actually lead the series at one point, which they did by a 1-0 count, but –
yeah.
I thought Washington would show up a lot more, and it really baffles me how a superstar like Alex Ovechkin and an amazing head coach like Barry Trotz, neither one of them has made it to a conference final. And I really have to ask, you know, what happens to Rick Nash? What happens to these two?
Yeah,
I know. Guy like Ovechkin is the guy that you lean on.
I think Washington, was it 20-something years of this since they got... Yeah, the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it's been a long time. They have like this jinx on where they can't get out of the second round.
I mean, for most of Trotz's career, obviously he coached in Nashville, a team that had a very low payroll constantly, and he got the best out of those players every single year. And I mean, yeah, you know, you can understand him not getting to past the first round with the Preds, but you know, getting to this team as firepowered.
President's
as deep
trophy.
As they are from the goal out, you know, I mean, Braden Holtby, you know, God bless him, had, you know, tied Marty Brodeur with 48 wins.
48 wins this season.
But, you know, it just seemed like in certain stages his gas can ran out.
I just think Washington, you know, and it's funny because I caught a lot of that series, and there were times where Washington truly outplayed Pittsburgh, and it was Murray. That was the real difference maker in that series, you know, early on especially.
Man, I have to agree with you. And You know, it's interesting that you bring up Matt Murray, because there's a young stud, a 20-something-year-old kid. I think he's 21.
He's 21.
And this young 21-year-old kid, you know, they know Fleury's not going to be the starter, so they go to Jeff Zatkoff, who steals game one. Game two, Zatkoff loses a hard luck loss. He didn't play poorly in game two against the Rangers, but you go to Madison Square Garden, and it's like a perfect storm. You figure the Rangers, coming off a big win in Pittsburgh, back home in front of their fans, against a rookie goaltender making his playoff debut at Madison Square Garden. It's all shaping up to just be an absolute bloodbath. But, of course, he's a rookie. The Rangers have never really faced him before, which means he's going to completely destroy them. And I still am wondering what happens, you know, but, I mean, props to Matt Murray for stepping up the way that he has and just putting the Penguins on his back the way that he did in rounds one and two.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing.
They're not getting necessarily the big offensive production. Crosby's having a so-so, if less than so-so playoff. You know, you're not seeing the regular first top six guys scoring goals for them. It's their third and fourth line that have been doing wonders for them. And again, this kid, I think the Isles will take some credit, because he got his first shutout 2 weeks before against the Islanders, and I was at that game. That was a terrible.
I think that was his first game. Wasn't that his first game?
First start was against us in Brooklyn.
5-0.
So we'll give him that. So Andrew, let's look to the West. St. Louis.
And San Jose?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not the Western Conference Finals that I think anybody predicted. I mean, me personally, my bracket said Chicago versus LA, like we've seen however many years, Anaheim being in the mix. But no, the Final Four are Dallas, St. Louis, San Jose, and Nashville, which, don't get me wrong, is great for the sport of hockey.
Right.
I knew going into Game 7 between the Blues and the Blackhawks, Sam Hitchcock was coaching for his job, because you knew that if Hitchcock would have lost Game 7 against the Blackhawks, he probably would have been fired before he got back from the locker room.
Right, yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right.
And now here he is, you know, they're doing the anthem for Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, and it's in St. Louis, which is not something that anybody would have predicted. And San Jose, on the other end, you know, they beat L.A. in 5 games, which I don't think anybody saw coming. But great for the Sharks, because they got to, as everybody's been saying on TV, they got to avenge the ghost of 2014, blowing
that
3-0 series lead. And then that Nashville series, I had no idea what to expect. I love this stat, because this means you cannot predict hockey. The Sharks had the best road record in the NHL in the regular season, yet the home team won every game of that series.
Yep.
Go
ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say Nashville. Good on them for making that a series and making that home ice advantage really come true.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Nashville, and he said that the home games, he went to all the home games, and he said it was absolutely amazing how loud that place got and how much support that team got.
Go ahead, Andrew.
This is a team in a city that doesn't really have a whole lot to root for. You got the Tennessee Titans, who are up and coming at best, and there's the Predators. And with the success the Predators have had this year, it's been really great. And then you get the All-Star Game in Nashville, really draws people back into Nashville for hockey. It's really good to see the Predators coming around like this.
All right, Andrew. Let's just face facts. You just like seeing Carrie Underwood in the Preds jersey. And I will tell you, and I will tell you know who about that. Okay, it's okay.
Well, if she's listening, she can take comfort in the fact that I actually have yet to see Carrie Underwood in a Predators jersey.
Okay.
it's just been an amazing ride for the Predators, and again, just like the Islanders, they have nothing to hang their.
The only thing that was disappointing, and again, I have family that live in Texas, and are Star season ticket holders, and. You know, they said, if they make the finals or whatever, there could be something going on. So I kind of, you know, once the Islanders sales let off, I started going on the Stars sales. And, of course, we got Game 7 in Dallas. I figured,
they didn't show up.
The Stars crowd pumped up all this stuff, and they just got their butts kicked. And then, okay, the next night, Nashville, you know, game seven, and they got whipped. I'm like, oh, you know, I was just hoping that you'd have two game sevens that would be worth rooting and watching for. Just, and they just disappointed me in both cases.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you. I'm sitting there watching the first period of that Stars and Blues game, and I'm thinking the same thing as you. You know, game seven in Dallas, fans are pumped. You know, we're ready to go here. And it's 3-0 after the first period. And I honestly have to wonder, was that a byproduct of Lindy Ruff not picking a goalie to ride the whole way? Because we saw it. You know, Kari Lehtinen started games 1 and 2, and then all of a sudden he's getting pulled. Game 3 is Niemi, game 4 is Lehtinen. He kept going back and forth. And I think coaching point for Lindy Ruff is, when he gets to the playoffs, he's got to pick a goalie and just ride it. He's going to pick Lehtinen. He's got to ride Lehtinen. He's got to ride or die.
Right. I mean, his past successes in Buffalo, obviously he had some guy named Hasek in that. But from my family, it's told me in Dallas, he's done that all year long with them. It's been literally 1A, 1B. I think they're pretty much almost 50-50 in the amount of games they play. I think Lehtinen had a slight advantage, but he's done it all year long. And again, that was definitely his doing.
Well, that's great in the regular season, and obviously you gotta work with what you got, and if it's working for you, I mean, stick with it. But when it comes to the playoffs, you gotta know, and I think it messes with a goalie's head, not knowing if you're gonna start the next game. I mean, Lehtinen plays great in game 1 and 2, and he goes to Niemi in game 3 after a 1-goal loss, and it's like, well, you know, now Niemi comes in, he's not really prepped for it. Lehtinen's thinking to himself, what did I do wrong? And so when Lehtinen gets to starting game 4, he's second guessing everything he does. Mm-hmm. And it messes with the goalie's psyche.
Exactly. And now there was a rumor I heard, and I don't know if it's true, but somehow I heard they said if San Jose doesn't do well in the playoffs, that they're actually going to play, they're going to start to play next year in either Kentucky or West Virginia because they look like they belong there. You didn't hear anything about that?
No, that's
but I'm telling you, they got the biggest facial hair I've ever seen. But
yeah,
it's worked, and they've had it all year long. Which
yeah,
is true.
That's right, they have.
But I mean, a good testament. You know, remember? You know, you saw two plus years ago when they stripped Marlowe and Joe Thornton of their A and C respectively. You know, there was all sorts of issues with Doug Wilson. Of course, the 2014. 3-0 lead against LA and blowing it. You know, they were gonna basically destroy San Jose and all this stuff, and look what happens. They kept everything together. Wilson got another chance. They bring in Marty Jones from LA to take over the net mining spot from the Emmy, of course, who went to Dallas. And San Jose is like the little engine that could now.
Yeah, really. They've got all these pieces that don't seem to fit together, but they are, and they've got this incredible story rising up for them. I have been a huge fan of the big Pavelski ever since he burst onto the scene. I love the fact that they made him the captain. I love the way that Brent Burns has stepped up as that awesome two-way defenseman. And then there's all the young studs like Tomas Hertl and Jonas Donskoy that have played big parts for the Sharks. And then you've got the veterans like Dinas Zubrus and guys like Mark-Edward Vlasic on the back line, who you really don't see as much, but they play such big minutes. And a perfect example of that is Paul Martin, who has won Stanley Cups before with the Devils, and yet is one of the most underrated defensemen on the Sharks team because he's hiding behind Chewbacca, a.k.a. Brent Burns.
Yeah, that's the type of, again, I think it's a good testament to them because you really don't hear much about those guys, but deep down, if you're really spotlighting or zoning in on the San Jose defense, they're just doing the job very simply, very easily, and without much fanfare.
Absolutely, and you got to look at what Pete DeBoer did back in 2012 with the Devils. He took another team with a mix of wily veterans and young up and comers, a defensive core that was not so much shaky, but I guess more underrated, and a goalie that everybody thought was past his prime and couldn't really do anything. Now, in this case, he's got a goalie that hasn't really had a major starting role in his career, so he's more unproven than, you know, possibly over the hill. But all the same, You know, in 2012, he had guys like Kovalchuk, Parisi, and Henrique. Now he's got stars like Pavelski, Thornton, and Marleau. You know, you've got the young kids that were coming up through the Devil system and the guys on the back line that were doing work for them. And he's got the same thing, basically, here with the Sharks. Mm-hmm. So I think this is Pete DeBoer's bread and butter in taking that core of pieces that don't really seem to fit together and a goalie with a lot of question marks and bringing it all together to make something really awesome.
At the right time. Exactly. Okay, so let's put a... Let's get to put the verbial gun to your head. Who do you think's coming out of each?
I'm taking San Jose in six.
Wow.
And I'm taking... I hate to do it, but I'm taking Pittsburgh in seven.
Wow.
Actually, okay. No, I'm going to rephrase that. I'm taking Pittsburgh in six, too, because Ben Bishop in two career game right. sevens is 2-0, winning both of them 2-0.
What's the deal with Bishop?
Yeah, I heard he went off. Yeah.
No, all I heard is, that, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but all I heard is that everything came out negative, that they may just hold him back for game two.
Last I heard, he's day-to-day. But with a guy like Vasilevsky in net who has shown that he can play with this Pittsburgh team, they'll probably start Vasilevsky in game two. When they go back to Amelie for game three, you'll probably see Bishop because they'll want him back in the lineup in his hometown.
Right, and does Stamkos come back then in game three?
I think the only time you'll see Steven Stamkos come back in this series is if the Penguins take a lead in the series and John Cooper feels a momentum swing. But right now, Tampa Bay is up 1-0 in the series. You're not going to risk Stamkos' health bringing him back too soon. And even if Pittsburgh wins game two, I still don't think you're going to see Stamkos until game four, maybe five.
Okay. Sounds like and same situation, I think, with Stralman, too, is into play as well.
I don't know that you'll see Anton Stralman. If I remember correctly, his injury was a little bit worse than Stamkos's, but...
But they were both wearing regular jerseys in practice, so that's why I'm wondering. You know, is he going to be in the same boat?
Yeah, it seems.
Well,
yeah.
I think you'd see Stroman before Stamkos, just because that defensive core, I think it could use a little bit of work. So if they bring Stroman in, they have that veteran, or not quite veteran, but they have that defenseman who's been here before, who knows what he's doing, and who, oh by the way, has been to back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals along with Mr. Brian Boyle.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, could be three in a row for them. Well, listen, Andrew, we appreciate your few minutes of time, and tell our listeners out there if they want to get to any NHL thoughts or other strange things that may come out of the mind of Andrew Shapiro, where can they get it?
Well, you can always go on Twitter. My handle is @AndrewShapiro10. I'm usually pretty active, especially during the playoffs. Most of the time, I'm tweeting at John Butchergrass to give me that OT challenge win. But for the most part, I'm just voicing my opinions. If you don't like them or if you agree with them, go ahead and send them my way. If I see something I like, I'll get back at you, and who knows? You know, I once sent a tweet out that blew up overnight. Maybe you could do the same.
That's exactly right.
Andrew, one thing. Don't count St. Louis out, man. They had a tough two games, too. They got a good team, too, St. Louis.
But
I know what you're saying about San Jose. Yeah, that's your pick, but... I think St. Louis is going to the Cup. I picked them in my bracket against Washington from the beginning. So, but obviously Washington can't get past the second round. But St. Louis is looking pretty good, too.
He just wants to show how smart he is.
We'll see what happens. Might be San Jose versus Tampa. Who knows?
Well, listen, Andrew, I am looking forward to seeing you in August at the National Hockey League Booster Club Convention at the Hyatt Regency Long Island. And we'll catch up with you, all right?
Absolutely, Gary. Thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys can do in August.
All right.
Andrew, thank you.
All right.
Thanks
sounds
a lot,
great.
Andrew.
Great job.
All right. That's Andrew Shapiro, formerly a sideline buzz. And Islander fans, the next half hour is yours. We want you to call in 631-888-8811. Give us a little postmortem. What do you think they need to do? What should go on with the management of the team, players, Kyle, Nielsen, all the guys that are restricted free agents? Do we keep them? Do we let them go? What do? Do we move a draft pick? It's your time to talk. So, again, 631-888-8811 is the number. We know there's a bunch of people listening that got things to say. So you know who you are.
It's wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Say no more. So we'll take a break and pay some bills. And when we come back again, we'll take your calls on Sports Talk 1240.
There you go.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240 on May 15th, 2016. Gary, John, and John with you. As you could tell, we have gone from two to three people in the studio when we're on. We kind of brought John Sweeney in as one of these unrestricted free agents.
That's right. That's right. We signed him.
Yeah, we did sign him.
I'm getting the big bucks, guys.
Yeah, well, guys, we'll talk more a bit, but we got a call in. Ralph from Staten Island, what's your story there, Morning Glory?
How are you guys doing today?
Well, what's going on there, my brother?
Nothing much. What's the main topic?
Islanders.
Postmortem.
Hey, Ralphie.
Postmortem.
Of course, the Islanders. Well, I was reading some stuff, and I'm sure you got the word Hamonic wants to stay, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. Yeah.
That's great news. He was talking about a family member that was over there that he was very close to. He never wanted to really leave the Islanders. He just wanted to go out there to be close. But now that situation has been a lot better, he's going to stay with him. They signed until 2020.
Yeah. The whole situation, I think, from what we've heard and what people have talked to, it was mostly family related, and the situation is under control. And the concern is that, he's also has a concern of the family farm and stuff like that. So again, right. You know what? A lot of things on his mind, nothing to do with his relationship here. Of course, a lot of people sounded off right away. Oh, it has to be Gar Snow. It has to be Jack Capuano. Some of those people should just get, a rod stuck in their eye.
Right.
You know what was really great about this guy this whole year? He played the year as though nothing bothered him. What does that tell you about
he's
the character?
He's a team player. Yeah. He's a great guy.
I mean, he had his best, I think, his best season in the NHL this season. Hey. Just stepped up.
And the way, that you watched him when he was interviewed, when they were eliminated, you could see in his face that it meant the world to him. To be where he is, and when he said, I want to be an island, I want to be an Islander, and that's that you can't make that up.
No. It was in the newspapers, on the web, like you said, in the interviews, everywhere. It's all true. So the other thing, I don't know if you guys agree with this, the Islanders have to find another forward winger for Tavares. They cannot go with what they got next year, because Tavares is a good player, too talented, taking a beating in front of the net. And teams are saying, in other words, beat the Islanders, shut down Tavares.
That's what Tampa did.
And that's exactly what Tampa did.
If they did, they're too big. The Islanders are big, but they're not overly big. Like, Tampa's average size is 6'1 or better. The Islanders, except for Matt Martin, they're kind of small.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. They are.
Most of the forward complement is not big.
There's a guy in Tampa that might be a free agent, Stamkos. And if he comes to comes with us, we'll be set for a long time. I really think the Islanders are going to they're gonna go far next year in the playoffs.
Obviously, you know, if somehow he got put on our laps, you would not put him on JT's line. You'd make him, you know,
you'd make
them center 1A and center 1B.
Right.
And let the chips roll there.
Now you got two solid lines right there.
We were looking, Ralph, before the show started, and there's a list on SpotTrack.com of NHL free agents. And, again, you look at the names at the top of the list. Obviously, you see Steven Stamkos, you see Eric Staal, and there's no reason why anyone else sitting in this room would want him. You know, the big name probably as a forward would be Lucic, and he's already expressed interest. He wants to remain in Los Angeles. So, you know, other than that, there's really not a lot of big names, with the exception maybe of a David Backes, a Louis Erickson in Boston, which is probably, I would say, the biggest tease out there.
Right.
You know, he's 30 years old, coming off a 30-goal season, you know, playing with Marchand and...
Marchand had a great year.
Marchand had a fantastic year.
I love Marchand on the Islanders. Oh, that would be great. What a player. What a player.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be definitely the type of guy that would tick people off. But, I mean, you know, with the exception, again, of those of a couple of those sexy names, there's really not a lot that come out.
I think it would have to be done by trade to get somebody.
I would think you would have to. I mean, and so then the question comes up now, and we were talking about it quickly before, you know, what, you know, does Garth pull all the stops and get all his three major unrestricted free agents signed? Obviously, that's Matt Martin, Kyle Poso, and Franz Nielsen.
Right.
My gut feeling, we get two out of three.
I believe you're right. John said the same thing. So did John Sweeney say the same thing. I say Poso is the guy that's going to go. That's my opinion.
Well, I'm hearing Poso wants like 8.5 or something like that. So that's insane. So, I mean, I would say the same thing. You let him go if he wants that much.
Right.
If you want to pay him $4 million, let him stay.
All right, Ralph, we're going to have to let you go because we got other calls on the line.
No problem. You guys take care tonight and be safe getting home. Okay?
All right, thanks, Ralph.
All
right, we got Louie in Huntington on the line. Louie, you're on Sports Talk 1240. What's going on?
Hey, it's Louis from Huntington. Hey, guys. First time caller. Big fan. You guys do a great job.
All right, thanks. What do you got?
Sure. I'm really concerned about the potential of getting rid of Yaro. It's been, you know, past 10 years or so after DP got hurt. It's been a revolving door in net. And I just don't trust that they're going to dump Yaro for a salary dump, that Berube can play 25 games, if he's going to be the backup. I think it's a big mistake, guys. I'll hang up and listen to you.
All right. So, what do you think, guys?
I don't think they're going to dump Yaro. I don't think that's...
Well, Yaro's got two... Yaro has 2 years,
two years
on his
left
contract.
On his contract. I don't
now,
think they're going to dump
now the question. Now, interestingly enough, there was a big article. I didn't get to read the whole thing in Newsday today about the three goaltender system. And the couple of things I didn't realize. Number one, both Berube and Halak have the same agent. So that's going to be an interesting story because they both... You know, obviously, Berube's are restricted. You know, Halak's got 2 years left. What are you going to do? You know, but you know, you.
I think it's going to be Halak and Grice.
Again, another one of Garth's take a shot on guys. You know, take a shot on this player move. You know, proved to be a big win. You know, nobody expected Thomas Grice, number one, to get as many games as he got in, and when he started playing so well in the beginning, they couldn't say no to him. And they had to keep playing him. And he gets career numbers. I mean, he went, what, 2.5 times his number of wins in a season?
I don't think the Islanders would have beat Florida without it.
No, there's no question.
No.
No question. He turned a lot of eyes. I mean, you know, again, you know, San Jose had him. Pittsburgh had him. You know, and he just never, you know, materialized with either one of those teams. And he comes here on a shot in the dark.
And you just got to love his work ethic, and just he's so even keel. And I the great line was in the Florida series where he stopped the penalty shot and he said his heart rate was the same.
Yeah.
He said it didn't change. It was like any other part of the game.
Exactly. It just it's not that he doesn't care.
He's just
a happy-go-lucky guy and does his job. And they said he practices intensely. He does what he needs to do. And you know, like I said, unfortunately, I was just telling the guys, he just, You know, Greiss shut out for Germany, shut out the U.S. 3-0 in the World Championships yesterday in Russia. So, you know, good for him that he went right out immediately after getaway day and went to St. Petersburg to, you know, keep his German team in the upper echelon. And he keeps going. Yeah,
he's getting better.
This is all this stuff that he wasn't going to be able to carry this kind of workload and play this many games, and he goes off and gets a shutout.
Yeah.
I would love to see those two guys split next year. This way, Halak's well rested. I know some goalies
right.
need to play a lot to go, but you know you got two guys like this that could actually step up and be a number one guy.
Right.
Guys.
I mean you did.
Halak's getting old too.
Right. You got the idea of getting Berube as an insurance policy because you weren't sure what Greiss was going to be like, but now obviously he's set up. You know they're going to do whatever they need to. You know how to take care of themselves. As we talked before the year. They've got two tremendous goaltenders in the wings coming up in the next couple of years. Ilya Sorokin.
Fantastic.
With less than one goals against average in the Russian league last year. Linus Soderstrom is playing in the Swedish Elite League at 19 and did quite well for himself. So you've got two young kids who's ready to come up. You got Christopher Gibson and Stefan Williams in Bridgeport. You know, Stefan had a little setback in the beginning but came back in the second half, did well. Got themselves, you know, helped the Sound Tigers get to the playoffs where they lost to who I think is going to be the AHL champions, the Toronto Marlies, in three straight. However, you know, things are just looking on the up and up right now in that position. So, you know, maybe it's a strength, as we were talking. Maybe you package a Berube, you package something in to get the need that you possibly are going to want, you know, to take care of your forward situation. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. I think the only way we're going to get somebody, you know, caliber to play with, you know, who can play with JT is going to be by way of trade.
And I think you need what it seems to be, although... go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, you're 100% right. I mean, Franz is a good center. So you can't, like, I mean, you know, they put Oposo and Franz on with Tavares. Then he split up. Franz is also great on defense. He's a good two-way player, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep him on the second line. If they do sign a post, so you keep a post. So throw him up there with Tavares.
I mean, the ultimate, you know, obviously we looked at the free agent list. The ultimate kind of a winger for JT would be someone of the likes of a Milan Lucic.
Right.
Lucic, that's what you want. Yeah.
You need somebody.
So you can protect him.
You need somebody with, again, he could put the puck in the net, a 20-goal scorer, 54 points. He can do what he needs to do in front of the net, cause havoc. You know, remember, as we said, we played, you know, the better part of we played the playoffs without Anders Lee on the forward line.
Right.
That was a big loss. You need somebody of significant size with JT. He's not going to be successful unless you do. Folks, again, remember, the number to contact us here at the studio is 631-888-8811. There are lines open. You want to give us a call? We'll talk the Islanders. You know, we can even talk other things. You know, hey, the Mets lost three straight in Colorado.
Yeah,
tough deal coming back home to play the Washington Nationals, and
it's gonna be exciting.
The 409 hitter, Mr. Daniel Murphy.
Yeah. 409.
409. There he goes. What number? Where's he batting? They got him batting third or something like that now. Something in the lineup.
I think so.
Zimmerman's batting. They have their own issues over there.
Yeah, yeah. And Bryce Harper's just being Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
But that should be an excellent series coming up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, you don't want to talk Islanders. We'll talk other stuff. You know, duck season has started.
How are they?
They're in second place. They started out. They lost like six in a row. Then they won nine in a row. Now they're off to their annual six-game series in Sugarland, Texas, which is just amazing that you go play, you know, one team for six straight days.
Yeah, six straight.
Well, let's get back to the Islanders one bit.
Go for it.
Who do you think they're going to bring up as a defenseman, one of the young kids, to fill in one of those spots? Do you think?
Well, I mean, you got to think Mayfield's got to be one of the.
I don't understand. Mayfield had a great series against Washington 2 years ago. They brought him up a little bit, and shoulder.
He had injuries during the season.
But he's a big kid, 6'4".
He's 220.
He plays great.
He plays age years above his age.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely that banger.
All right, so we got another caller online. It's Elwood. It's the man from Indiana.
Ah, Mr.
What's up,
Elwood?
Buddy?
Hey, what's up? down here in downtown Indianapolis, guys.
What's up, Elwood? How you doing, brother?
Suck. Hey, doing good, guys. Said Mets and you had me. Oh, what a season. I tell you, I'm loving this shift. It's like New York's getting to be a little bit more of a Mets town than a Yankees town. You know, it's like, whoa.
It's
like up in Chicago. The White Sox are getting a tad bit more respect than the Cubs. You know, they're kind of the same way you are. There's, you know, the Cubs and that other team. It's kind of that way in New York. And it was so funny. One of the local TV stations here said they're going to show 10 Cubs games and 10 White Sox games on Indianapolis TV. You know, not a Chicago broadcast here. So I was like, wow, 10 of each. There would have been a day where it would have
I would refresh my memory. Indianapolis Indians, are they still Pittsburgh's team?
Yes.
They are. Okay.
Oh yeah, I only live about 4 blocks from.
Oh really? State. Okay, I knew that. I knew they were still. I knew they were a Central Division team. I wasn't sure if it was Pittsburgh or Milwaukee's. But okay, that's good.
Okay, they were the Reds for a few years.
That's
and
right.
Then they were the Pittsburgh. But no, I'm about 4 blocks from there. So yeah, so I walk to games. I'm actually that's the closest sports venue to me is baseball. You know, then football, then basketball. But guys, the Mets. What a season, and I'm seeing improvement. And the Islanders, what an improvement there.
Were you excited about the Islanders?
Oh, yeah. It was a fun season.
I think they had a great season.
I'm seeing progression upwards, and that's all I want. You know, I'm not expecting miracles. You know, I mean, the Mets and the Islanders, I think, are both slowly heading up. You know, I mean, we're not quite there, but I'm liking some of the changes. You know, I mean, I think the Mets have realized they're going to have to spend a little money. And David Wright isn't the answer to everything, you know. And I think, you know, same way with the Islanders, you know. They got their new home. Everybody shut up about it. You know, I got so sick. I'm way out here. I mean, don't even care where they put them because I don't physically know what I'm sick of hearing about it, you know.
Yeah, we have been getting, even the ones that have been complaining, like, you know.
Well, Mets fans, all Islanders fans out that way complain about it, you know. I mean, we complain here about stuff as Islanders fans.
Well,
different.
As I said to people last year before the season started, I said, you could have built the Taj Mahal in Brooklyn. You could have took every part of every best arena all over the country and put it in Brooklyn and gave it to the Islanders and said, here's your arena. And 30% of the people in that building would have still moaned and groaned.
Oh, yeah. It's just a matter of the fact that they left.
It's just our base.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Colts were smart. When the Colts won the Super Bowl and Peyton was the next big thing and everybody, the heart of basketball became a football town, they went and they built Lucas Oil because they got blank check after blank check. I mean, that was the most expensive building project in the state the whole time. They struck while the iron was hot and built that Colossus, and nobody said a word. You know, and that's kind of with the Islanders. They were doomed from day one. They just didn't strike at the right time. So I knew they were going to get the flack.
Well, they had one of the top 3-4 teams home record.
The momentum wasn't there like here. I mean, it was insane. I mean, you know, I watched a basketball town become a football town. You know, it's strange. You know, it was an interesting experience to live through. I mean, to see that dynamic of a shift. You know, like, dang, this is the heart of basketball.
Yeah, then again, your town in 2 weeks becomes the heart of something else, too.
When you grow up with that, it's so,
Hey, it's just, I know, it's just whatever. Memorial Day is just whatever now. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, that was our big goal. We can't host a Super Bowl, but we can have the largest single-day sporting event on planet Earth.
Right, you're right. How many people usually go to that?
Oh, a fourth of a million. Get this, guys. They're not really sure how many people are at a race because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unreal. I mean, it's a miniature city, the racetrack.
It's crazy.
Well, again, it's a 2.5-mile track. It's huge. Yeah.
It was there.
People
it was,
all the
it's
way around.
Awesome
There's
place.
A whole city around it just to support it. It's not in Indianapolis. It's actually in a city called Speedway, and the whole town is more or less to support that race. It's an unreal extravaganza.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you, it's still one thing on my bucket list of sporting events.
And you know, it's pushing 100. I don't know if it's this year or next year. It'll be 100 years old.
Yeah, I think I thought it was next year. I thought it was 2017.
It's coming up because I go every year. I mean, it's not like I'm going to miss it. But yeah, it's pushing 100.
I mean, I have been to one sporting event in your state.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, I've been to Notre Dame.
Oh well, yeah. Okay. Because one of my buddies, he was he was talking about how we need like an Ivy League. I said we got Notre Dame.
You got Notre Dame, exactly. Yeah. You know why they're in the ACC is beyond me.
I had a buddy from Michigan, and he was dogging Indiana sports, and I said, dude, could you reach down and pull your shorts down just a little bit far because your Notre Dame tattoo's showing while you're saying it. Could you just maybe, you know, he has it on his upper thigh. I said, could you pull that short a little bit more because, you know, you got that Indiana sport. Yeah, well, that's not really an Indiana. I'm like, yeah, that really is.
Yeah, right. Sure. All right. So let's, again, we put the gun to Andrew Shapiro's head. We'll put it to yours. Who do you think's going to the finals?
Oh, you can't ask me. I'm a horrible homer. You know who I'm going to say. So.
No, the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, I don't really care, to be honest.
No,
Come on, Elwood.
Who did your last guy pick?
He picked San Jose and Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that's a
so
good
St.
one.
Louis is playing. You know, St. Louis is playing San Jose. Pittsburgh's playing Tampa. Yeah. Who just beat us?
And Tampa won Game One.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's Tampa. A Florida team's never impressed me because there's too many stinking teams in Florida.
Well, Tampa did go to the Cup last year, but
that's
lost.
That's true, but it's a Florida team, so it's going to wash out somehow.
Hey,
I hate to give Pittsburgh credit in anything, you know, because I hate Pittsburgh.
I agree with you. No,
I get so sick of Steeler fans. We have a lot of pre-1984 Steelers fans here, and they get on my nerves. I've sat many of them down and said, did you get the memo in 84? Shut up. You got a team. Shut up. You don't talk like one of them. Shut up. But every now and then we have to show them the window that they're not in Pittsburgh. Shut up. Well,
any news on Luck? How's he doing?
Oh, Luck's doing phenomenal. That kid... laser arm, I've heard he's just getting better and better with age.
He's a tough cookie.
Oh, too. It's like we chopped off Peyton Manning's head and Andrew Luck's popped up. And, guys, can I now say thank you? I was 110% right. I said we keep Peyton Manning. He's going to go out on top. He's going to wave his little hat. We're going to have nothing and no draft pick. I said we got Andrew Luck, the next big thing. Peyton can go wherever he goes. And if he wins the Super Bowl,
God bless.
Good for him, but thank you. I was 110% right. I said getting rid of Peyton was a smart move. I said getting Andrew Luck was a smart move. And I said even if Peyton goes on to win another Super Bowl, it's a smart move. Because Peyton's gone. He's on his way to doing Viagra commercials or whatever. And we got Andrew Luck.
Now he's going to own Papa John's.
Oh, well, you know what? Go for it. Yeah. I can't. It's a little too far.
Look, Peyton was fantastic with you guys.
I love the man. Hey, half the stuff in my man cave is Peyton Manning.
That guy has all his records with you guys.
And a few of the things in my man cave is Peyton with his Broncos stuff, and that's love for me to let that in my man cave, you know. But Andrew Luck is the next big thing. I mean, and when I was at that game and we were down a gazillion points with Kansas City and he won it and he jumped over that mound of people, I thought, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
There you go. He's a tough kid.
Oh,
let me ask you this question, because you're a football guy. Did the Jets sign Ryan Fitzpatrick? Who's going to be the starting quarterback? What do you think?
You know what? It's the Jets. They'll look at all their options and pick the worst one.
God, are you right on the money?
As long as it's not Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Well, the Jets just always find a way to screw it up. I mean, it's...
Anybody but Geno.
I'm glad you guys have three teams in New York, you know, football-wise. So, you know, the state... But,
no, we have one. We have Buffalo.
That's right. Yeah. That's what my dad used to say.
Yeah, we only have Buffalo. They're Jersey. They don't count.
They don't count. Yeah, but, I mean, the Jets will... you know what? They'll just do all... And, Mark Sanchez. Let's bring back Mark.
Well, Sanchez
like
is supposed
that.
To be starting in Denver, isn't he? Isn't he starting quarterback in Denver?
I was being facetious. Yeah, I mean, it's like, Tim Tebow is the answer. And I'm like, only they could... You know, Tim Tebow isn't the answer to anything.
Well, he didn't give Tebow a chance, though. He won a playoff game
Tebow
in Denver.
Tebow doesn't have a chance.
But he won a playoff game in Denver.
When I would go to Notre Dame games, and Brady Quinn would walk out, and people would almost pass out when they touched him.
Of course.
Him.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Super mesmerizing. I mean, I remember he touched a girl's
shoulder. Samardzija was a receiver.
And I said to all my friends, I said, look, guys, this guy is an amazing quarterback. But he's not an amazing NFL quarterback. And they said, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not. And I think I was proved right. And the same thing's true with Tebow. He's a good college quarterback, but he's not a great NFL quarterback. And he's never going to be.
And he proved
it. He's just like Brady Quinn, you know.
Yeah. Well, Quinn lasted a little longer.
A little bit, but he isn't. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks are not good NFL quarterbacks. And I'm sorry, but they're not. And you can drink the Tim Tebow Kool-Aid all you want, but he's never going to be a stellar quarterback. You know, neither is Quinn. You know, even with what's his face, you know, Johnny Paycheck or whatever. He's done.
He's got too many other issues, off the field issues.
He's never probably going to be a good NFL quarterback. I never thought he was in the day. I mean, when you watch Luck, you knew that kid was going to be a good quarterback. Okay. I'm like, what am I missing? You know,
yep. All right, listen, we're going to let you go there, Elwood, but we appreciate you calling, as always. Enjoy the summer. You know, we'll still be on here, so you can definitely shoot about the Mets and all the other good stuff.
Follow the Mets, Elwood.
Got to go Mets. Yeah, got to go Islanders. I mean,
all right.
Blue and orange, kid.
Easy,
blue and orange.
All right. Thanks, Elwood.
See ya.
All right. Elwood from Indianapolis, Indiana. It's always nice to get listeners from different parts of the country, and he's been a great caller.
He's
got a good knowledge of sports.
So, getting back to the defense.
Let's go back to the Allen's defense.
Roundless defense. You were talking about who we should really have as the number five and number six.
Right.
All right? I mean, we obviously
know. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Obviously know you got 2, 3, 55 locked in.
Right.
Now, who would be 4, 5, 6?
Well, I know it's probably not a popular choice, but Hickey, you definitely want to keep around.
Hickey? He came up as a goal, you know, fourth overall pick in the draft.
He's a scorer. Steady guy. He just seems to have a very, you know, people can knock his size, but he plays the position well, and he's got big goals. The guy just knows when to sneak in.
When to pinch what he needs.
Mm-hmm. So he's definitely.
Pulock.
Pulock is somebody.
He's locked.
He's a lock.
He should be now a lock. I mean, you know, now they just got to work on giving him the confidence to let that, you know, that lightning bolt of a shot go through.
Yeah.
You know, I think once he gets that, then he'll be fine.
And I think DeHaan had a pretty good season, you know, comeback season after.
Well, DeHaan was another guy that gave up his body a lot. He had a lot of block shots.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, now you were talking about Mayfield before. That's going to make it about a big fight now, who's going to get that 6 and 7 spot. I mean, to me.
Who do you think?
It's hard to put a face on it right now. I mean, yes, DeHaan had a decent season. He's made up for some of the losses he had at the end of the year last year, because it looked like the end of the year last year he was disintegrating.
Right, yeah. I agree with that. Lost.
You have to wonder. Obviously, I think, and most Islander fans will be happy with me saying the fact that I think you're not going to see Brian Strait here anymore.
No, I don't think so.
You know, he was the whipping boy. He was always the one that was ripped apart. He had some decent moments. He had some good things, but, you know.
He was the Josh Bailey of the defense.
Oh, Jesus, no. Here he goes.
A lot of he was the Josh Bailey on the defense. He was.
You're going to get an email from somebody tomorrow morning. You know that.
Bailey had 2 goals in that game. He played great. He stepped it up.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe he's back like he did 3 years ago.
I hope so. For my wife's sake, I hope so.
First good game he had in 3 years.
Because, you know, she was going to throw things. You know, it's just not good. All right, so we got about 4 minutes left. Again, make sure you stay tuned to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Andrew Claudio is going to be on. He's going to have Howard Beck, senior NBA writer at the Bleacher Report, and Wallace Matthews. Hey, there's a blast name from Wallace, the past. He's covering the Yankees for ESPN.com. I remember it was... What was the other? Wally and the somebody else. Who did he used to do the show with on ESPN?
I can't remember. Yeah.
But he'll be the guest in the 9 o'clock hour. We are back June 26th at 9 o'clock. We were supposed to be back on the 19th, but both John and I are unavailable. So we will be back on the 26th. I'm hoping to get somebody Met-related and possibly Duck-related. And obviously in September we'll have our annual yearly talk with one Gar Snow.
Yes.
So that'll be fun to end the summer.
It's always a good show. You guys always have a great show with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here you go. A little quick update. San Jose, St. Louis, 1-1 right now.
Oh, okay.
In St. Louis.
Oh, that's right. They start in St. Louis tonight.
That game's on. All right, here you go. The Mets in the last 10 games right now. Just getting to the Mets real quick. 4-6 in the last 10. But the Mets are right there. They're a game and a half out of first right now. And it's this series against the Nationals so early. It's going to, you know,
still
put them back up on top.
And they play
them
again at the end of the month.
Yeah.
That's the strange part. They play them, you know, this week. And then I'm going on the 29th that Sunday night game before Memorial Day.
That'd be a good. That's a good game.
Yeah,
that'd be a good game. Yeah, and the Yankees are 7-3 in the last 10. And
they're holding their own.
They're holding their own and dead last.
Yeah, but again, who would think? Who would think that that division is going to is that strong so far? Right. Baltimore's doing really well. Toronto's playing well. Boston. The resurgent Boston Red Sox. Yeah. It seems like every other year they wake up.
Boston and Baltimore, right? Yeah, first. But you know what? Though, right now the Yankees have the lock. Close the door. Turn the key. Lock the door right now.
On 7, 8, and 9.
7, 8, and 9. It's over. Lights out.
Betances. Bye bye. Miller and Mr. Yeah. Chapman. All right,
Chapman's
2 minutes,
back.
Guys.
100-mile-an-hour fastball.
John, we want to John Sweeney, we want to officially welcome you to the crew. We're going to have to come up with a name of our show.
Yeah. The Good Guys.
The Good Guys. There
we
go.
Guys. We're no Ranger fans here. We're good guys.
We're good guys.
The Good Guys.
All right.
Thank
so,
you, guys.
Hey, listen, we're glad you're with us. I know, you know, I know John needs a ride to the show, so that kind of, you know, that he's happy for that.
Well,
John, he doesn't have to get his brother Joe to do it all the time.
Problem is with John, when he drives, he's got the lead foot. You know, he drives so fast.
I'm trying. I told you I'm in therapy on that.
I want to explain something.
John, real quick. We got a minute.
John is wearing his beautiful Islander Johnny Tavares jersey. I love it.
That's it. Again, to everybody listening, if they want to reach out to us on Twitter, John?
At Hockey Blindside.
It's at AllyCat010.
And at G Harding WGBB. We're always... full of opinions and full of stuff. Guys, great show as always. Again, Andrew Claudio's on next. Make sure you listen. And this is Gary Harding for Sports Talk 1240. In the words of my good old friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. We'll talk to you next month.
Program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.